Tonight, it is my pleasure to introduce Hillary and go ahead.
Thanks so much. I'm Hillary. I'm an addict. I feel honored to be asked to speak. And then, of course, I feel like, well, what? Why the fuck are they asking me? However, I have valuable insight. I'm just about 9 months and 14 days clean. However, I will hope that my experience, because I do feel like I have gotten so much out of the little time I've been here. So I hope that I can share it in a way that's coherent, but won't be linear, but there you go. So I've listened, but part of my experience has been involved a lot of virtual meetings. I live in Argentina. And so I've heard a lot of people share, and I go to a lot of groups in all the places. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this ability to do this. I'm terrible at technology. And so I just click something and I'm here, and that's fantastic. So I'm just gonna go with kind of whatever comes out of my mouth. And so I'm 50, and I grew up in Minneapolis, and I think I've been thinking a lot about identities lately, because I had no problem with identifying myself as an addict based on the frequency, longevity of my use with my DOC, which is a stimulant, in various countries. It's possible, like, if I dig deep, I could romanticize my early use. There's nothing romantic or wonderful about the 4 years, the last 4 years, and the first year of which was with my ex. He and I used all day, every day, for a year, during which I'm not a successful, functional addict, but I worked, he worked, but I'm just gonna start a little bit in the beginning and barf out some stuff, and then I'll barf out some more stuff. But for me, I think it's important. Identity has been an important thing to think about. And I was born and raised Jewish, and for me and for my family, that's a huge, it's a probably for lots of other Jewish people in the States, it's real cultural. It's a part of an identity that far exceeds religious beliefs. Something that, so when I, even to this day, people, I tell people I'm an atheist, but then usually I'll say, I'm Jewish. Not like there's a lot of Jewish people here, and I don't know what I think, but I think part of it is, like, I don't want to not acknowledge it due to the Holocaust, due to, I don't want there to be, there's not any kind of shame about the religious part of where I came from, and it's a real part of my identity. And it has to do with also a lot of what I think I've heard about kind of addictive behaviors and compulsive obsessive past my parents. And here I'll just go with it. So a huge part of who I am is who my parents were and are. Both of them, my dad was a freedom rider. He was very, very important to him, his civil rights. My mom was very, very involved in civil rights. She still is. And that's huge. My dad had no friends growing up. He lived in rural Illinois. His dad was a doctor who got him on medication, uppers and downers, from, I don't know, maybe 5 years old. And swastikas were drawn on their houses. So even though my grandfather delivered babies, or in exchange for chickens, my dad was not allowed to have friends who were not Jewish, or maybe it's because they didn't have any friends because he was the only Jew in I don't know how many miles. So he grew up and he didn't know how to have any, he had no social interaction skills. My mom, her dad started the Anti-Defamation League in our city. Co-founded it, and just I can't. I'm so lucky. I'm proud that I was raised with humanitarian, whatever you want to call them, beliefs that are so ingrained in me and so who I am. But my mom, I would say she's very. Both my parents, my dad, are gambling addicts, and but yeah, they're not no substance, no substances, and. But what they really gave me a lot of, and maybe too much, is love. I know that sounds terrible. Codependency, control. The stories that we tell ourselves are often the stories that our parents told us, because we don't have those memories. And so the things that my parents have told me, like when I was born, my older brother took hours to drink a bottle. I drank it in 10 seconds. So much that my dad, who was very nervous because he really had no family that showed him love, and he was so nervous. He's so neurotic that he would call our doctor, like, "Oh, she's sleeping. Is she doing this too much? Is, you know, they probably, my dad probably baby-proofed my house 30 years before I was born. And I was a child who maybe, I was very stubborn. I still am. And very, I was very happy. I was very happy. And I did apparently, I refused to poo twice as a young child due to bad experiences. And I would just sit there and they had to take me to a doctor and sneak, laxative into my food on the day of a Purim festival, which was not wise. I think that was the first time my dad's Celica Super was pooed in, and probably the last. However, who I was is something that I want to think a lot about. I try to think about lately because I don't want to associate who I was before these 4 years. And I don't want to also talk about too many differences because really there are a lot. The first anonymous I went to was Codependency Anonymous. And I have a history of just terrible relationships. And some of them involved heavy drug use, and some of them didn't. And there were times in my life where I used every day, all day. And then I didn't for several months, mostly because I went from one country to another. And that is, and I think what lately is really something I'm thinking about a lot is the trauma that I experienced. Well, the first trauma that I remember was being in a tornado in Wisconsin when I was 13. And my leg, I had a complex tib fib fracture. I was in a wheelchair for a long time. And I identify that moment is when I stopped believing in religion. Although I just talked with my brother and we both made deals with our parents. Like if you, after our bar mitzvah, can we quit on Hebrew school? Because my father, who was an atheist too, he died in 2012. It was mostly like doing it emotions for my mom. And I think that's something with religion that may be specific with Judaism, or at least specific to me. It was more, they grew up with a lot of anti-Semitism and it was a big part of their identity and it wasn't religious. And for my dad, who went to like Unitarian church things, probably to appease some ex-girlfriend of his, really what they instilled in us were humanistic values. And I think it's, I don't want to go into too much politics, but I left 10 years ago and I've spent over half my adult life overseas. I did my master's in Scotland and I've lived in a lot of countries. I've been over like 75-ish. And it makes me, yeah, I know I'm not gonna talk about politics. I'm very lucky that I have the values that I was given and I feel very grateful for them. And I think I'm just gonna transition this into something else. That is this, that I've always been like, I remember stealing a piece of gum from the synagogue and I remember inadvertently cheating, like someone dropped a math test. I'm terrible at math and on the floor in like 10th grade. And I saw some answers and I put them in and then I was called in and they said, we switched the questions we asked and you cheated. And it was so much shame and so much guilt that I remain, the moments to remember are the moments that maybe not define us, but there's so many of them. And the ones that I wrote down for this word barf, where that like the first time, I drank twice in high school, that was it. And the first time I was with a friend who had a very, she was very allergic to cats, so much that I have to change clothes when I got to her house because I had them. And she ended up vomiting so much that I had to call her parents. We're at a restaurant. I had to call the restaurant. This was in the 90s, the early 90s. And they had to come and take her to the hospital. And I felt so terrible. I didn't like the taste of alcohol. And she got hammered, just doing that thing where you're just drinking out of whatever bottles that were in the cabinet. And the second time I drank, also in high school, I vomited and I was at my friend's house and I begged her to take me to the hospital and just drop me off in the parking lot because I was so sure I was going to be dead. And then I did it, then I lived in London as an 18-year-old and it was legal and it was accessible and it was a problem, alcohol for me, because I don't think it's, I think I, it made me sick. Although, in the same way, in terms of fitting in, I'm just going to go back and word barf here because I think I've heard a lot and I think for me, of other people, I really wanted to fit in. I didn't fit in. And I think a lot of it was about being an outsider because of my religion. I hit puberty very late and I going from being a tomboy to then having men interested in me. And it was a very puzzling time. And I didn't have a relationship until I was in my late 20s. And it was an abusive, verbally abusive, drug-fueled relationship that involved the police on several occasions in this country, in the capital city. And that was probably when I first really had addictive behaviors specific to my DOC. I tried it with a friend in DC, a couple times, and then I moved to Buenos Aires, and I lived with some friends from university, and it just became probably something that became, I can't remember. Like, I try to think, like, was I doing it? Was I doing lines every day, all day back in 1999? I don't know. I don't think so, but I do know that I've lived in a lot of places and I've had a lot of experiences. And if I look at my obsessive compulsive addictive behaviors and thought patterns and emotional patterns, they're there when it comes to relationships, when it comes to, I got my master's degree when I was 33 in Edinburgh, and I missed out on the wave of like, we did our research in college. Like, we went to the library, and when I was growing up, we had encyclopedias or whatever my dad told me that I wish I lived in those times, because it was when I went to do my master's, I really became obsessed with, am I writing away? Am I getting in trouble? Is this plagiarizing? How do I do this? A this whatever it was, ACA citation system. And so I would research something. It was in criminology and criminal justice, and then I would spend more time researching what I was writing to make sure someone else hadn't written it, because I didn't want to get in trouble. And I became so obsessive with research in the things that I was so passionate about, you know, which were, well, I don't want to get into specifics, but reform of criminal justice systems and just act. Yeah, where am I going with this? I'm going with, I have had a long history of really obsessive behaviors, and I'm thinking about where I am today. And the day that I first day I came into NA, which I always knew about because my cousin, who took his life a couple years ago, an addict to a different drug, had been in this for 30, 40 years. And he had always said, don't do my DOC, whatever you do. And yeah, where am I going with that is, I've always known about NA. I've always known that he found a community there. He had had some relapses. He played on softball teams, and I knew about them. And my there's so many terrible days, but I'm just going to try to make this somewhat linear. It's way too late, but I adopted my dog in May of 2021 in Peru. She had been found under a hut covered in oil in the Amazon, somewhere I've never been because I don't do jungles. And a French tourist found her, flew her to Lima, where I was living, gave her to me, and left the country that day. And she, since that day, before that day, her health history, things that have happened to her, became what I became obsessed with during my, since May 2021. That's not really true. I was working maybe since August. She's had a series of the most, and we've both had a series of the most terrible things happen to us. And my trauma really in this one comes from a failure to advocate for her health successfully. And it did happen during full-blown drug addiction. And when I really think about why did I start taking my first drug? I don't know. It wasn't to mask emotions. I don't really even know. All I know is where I am right now is because of all the things that have happened in two countries. And I've been able to really forgive people that that inadvertently caused me a lot of damage through the experiences that I've had as an addict, primarily being allergic to a psych drug. You know what? This is so not coherent. So let me go back to this for a second. I'm going to go back to this because this is important for me. I do feel like I have. I'm an atheist. I have volunteered in several for several organizations that do have secular, you know, religious things in their buildings. And I have had to get over my beliefs and compromise them in a way that for the greater good. When I volunteered for helping expedite visa processes for kids who had crossed the border and people who had been abused, and I worked in places with crosses, and that was awkward and uncomfortable for me, both as a Jew and as an atheist. But I sucked it up because I liked the work that I was doing, that my volunteer work was important to me. And I don't feel now that it was compromising. And where I am now with this program, and I'm on step four, and I've done it the secular way, and I finished it, and I wanted to do it in the traditional way to see what the differences are. So I reread the blue book for the fourth step. And then I just got stuck in it. Like, I don't remember the things I highlighted. And that's part of my possible dementia, drug induced, who knows? But I do have a higher power, and my higher power is a place that I went to, and I wasn't looking for it. For a while, it was my friend's dog, Ramon, and it was the group's for a while, but I have one, and it's fantastic. It was this rock structure. It's this rock structure on the way. I live on the border of Chile, and there was this little place where someone had put sunflower seeds. My dad and I ate them compulsively, like to the point where our lips would be swollen. Hours a day, we ate sunflower seeds, and I'm sure someone put there for the birds. And I don't need to imagine, like, oh, my dad's spirit put them there. But it's this rock, and on one side you have the moon, and on one side there's the sun, and the wind was so fierce, and I just felt in that moment that this was going to be my higher power. And when it comes down to it, I don't care if you call it, Dookie or Cynthia. I don't need to not call it higher power. And it's not about not fitting in or wanting to fit in this case. It's about, do I need to allow my beliefs, perhaps, do I need to allow them to exclude me from being part of something that is home to me? This is, you are my family. This is my family. My friend last night, who was like, the glory, let the glory of God, decide what job I get. And in my first thing, my mind's like, no, well, if you don't bring your curriculum in, I don't know how God's going to help you get that job. But I don't want to get caught up in these mental spirals, because I want to be a part of something that has shown me the way forward. And I wasn't searching for an answer when I first came to NA. I first came to NA because my mom is dying. And I was sent to I so I was sent to a mental institution hospital public here that was pretty awful, on a day that I was very confused about things that were happening in terms of being hacked, and I've lost all my accounts. I'm not sure what my role is when that, because I don't understand technology, just like I don't understand medicine. And I ended up in a mental institution here for a few weeks. That was pretty terrible, but it's not terrible because it was part of why I'm here today. And if I hadn't adopted this dog, I still would have come back to the city where I live in, because it was in the city that I wanted to come, that I wanted to live in. I never thought I would make that decision. And I left here before COVID, ended up in Spain and Turkey, blah, 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 canceled a bunch of stuff in Eastern Europe. But why am I here? I'm here because these things happened. My friend came down from Minnesota, brought me back to the States, ended up hospitalized there for a couple of weeks. And I ended up having to argue with people in both places about, I'm crazy enough to be here, just like I have to try to tell people, oh, I've only like quit for 10 months. Oh, I promise you, I did terrible things. I mean, not terrible things, but I mean, I had money. I was in my apartment for 4 years and literally only left to go to vet places or to walk my dog. And I lost any desire to live. And I don't have to sit and differentiate, was it the experiences I had or was it the drugs? Because it happened at the same time. And if I hadn't adopted my dog, who's had all these health problems that led me to spending 4 years researching things, reading journal articles I did not understand, and writing experts in every possible thing my dog's been diagnosed with. If those things didn't happen, I wouldn't be here right now. And the reason I walked into the NA meeting was because I was sent by my psychiatrist to go to a hospital because to get me off this medication I was allergic to, and they didn't have any outpatient treatment. And I went to NA because my mom told me that she thought that I was gonna that I would end up back institutionalized if I came back to South America, and I wanted to prove her wrong so that she wouldn't die with an addict daughter. And in this process, I found hope, and I had no hope. I had no desire to live. The extent to which, I took actions. I mean, for me, drinking and my cocaine use was really, in my mind, I wanted it to kill me. So the program is so important to me that I don't think I've compromised my belief in saying that I have a higher power. I do cringe sometimes. I do. And I think that's about, I need to be more tolerant, because here's what I think about higher powers and whatever. It's a god of my understanding. I don't even like using that phrase, but I will, because I think it's because the program doesn't want us to feel like we're alone, and we do have each other. And that's so key to me. I was so isolated, but I also feel like I'm not alone. I mean, so many things have happened in the last 2 weeks. I was trying to fly to the States, and I'm having to bust through a couple countries to get back down due to a health issue. I'm now in a terrible situation where I'm involving very unethical things with my housemate who is in NA, and I have to try to navigate that. And the thing is, I couldn't wrap my head around anything, including my dog's health or any. I couldn't do anything. What I can do right now, today, is so amazing considering what I've been through. And I'm going to wrap this up really quickly. God, this was word barfy. Sorry, but something someone said before the meeting about the trauma is my fault, and I think it's very hard for me to. I don't want to see myself as a victim in anything that's happened to me, because I don't want to take the ownership away. And I think that has to do with my religious belief. I think my lack of them. It's so hard for me to hear people have terrible things happen to them, and then they say, "Oh, well, I was told that God needed that person more than I did." I think that's awful. But what I think isn't important, if someone's belief system helps them to become a better person and to not feel like they're alone, then fuck yes, I want that for them. And for me, I do have a higher power. I don't call it that, but I do in meetings because it's something that is said. But I do feel like the universe, the wind, the rain, the ocean, my dad's spirit, the spirit of other people who have died, like they're cheering me on. And they have cheered me on, and you have cheered me on, and now I cheer myself on. And I'm going to be quiet. And you should know that there are some really clever things that we're gonna be, hints to say witty things that didn't happen, but they're there. Thank you so much. I love you all.